Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, I forgot to mention today we spoke to the Republicans hoping to run against Senator Gillibrand. Tomorrow we'll speak to the two Republicans hoping to run against Senator Schumer. Both of those incumbent Democrats are up for re-election this fall. It's because Gillibrand was appointed, so now they have to have an election for that seat. And Schumer comes up because it's his six-year cycle. So tomorrow, the Republicans hoping to run against Schumer will be on the show at 11 o'clock. Meanwhile, a new skyscraper war has broken out in Midtown. The Empire State Building is facing some real competition from a planned tower called 15 Penn Plaza, opposite Penn Station, where the Long Island Railroad trains used to run. It would be just 34 feet shorter than the Empire State Building and just 900 feet away. The new tower will face one of its final hurdles today, as the city council is expected to vote on the plan this afternoon. Some are calling it an assault on the Empire State Building and the New York City skyline, but here is Mayor Bloomberg's take.
Anybody that builds a building in New York City changes its skyline. We don't have to run around to every other owner and say and apologize. I think this is something that's great for the city. And, you know, competition's a wonderful thing. One guy owns a building. He'd like to have it be the only tall building. I'm sorry. That's not the real world.
Joining me now to help sort out the controversy is WNYC reporter Matthew Sherman, who covers development and real estate. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Brian.
The Empire State Building was built in 1931. How has this issue not come up before?
It's amazing, isn't it? I think part of it has to do with a lot of the development of really tall skyscrapers occurred around Grand Central Terminal, because that was perhaps the more fashionable terminal. And some of the zoning around Grand Central actually allows taller buildings. And then, of course, down around the World Trade Center. So, you know, everyone knows that in the 30s, right around the Empire State Building, there aren't really that many modern buildings. The cost of the office space around there is actually a lot lower. It's a less desirable area, even though, ironically, more people go into and out of Penn Station every day than in and out of Grand Central.
Right. 60% of Long Island Railroad trains are running. So that's a lot of people in and out of Grand Central.
Even at Penn Station.
There was a city council hearing on Monday where each side showed up with rival renderings of how the new building would change the skyline. And listeners, if you want to see them, we have linked to those images on our show page. You can go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. So depending on your vantage point, how would our skyline change?
Well, if you look at it directly, the new building is at between 32nd and 33rd Street, and the Empire State Building is between 33rd and 34th Street. So if you look at it straight from the east or from the west, you're going to see basically, you know, twin towers, you might say, all just about as high as one another. In fact, the proposed building is a lot thicker at the top than the Empire State Building is, so you'll get a glimpse of the old and the new. If you're looking at it from the north or from the south, the distance between them, between 5th Avenue and 7th Avenue, will be a lot more pronounced. So it all depends on where you're looking at them from.
And I gather it would be 50% larger than what ordinarily would be allowed under the normal zoning rules. Why is this proposed building getting such a huge density bonus?
About half of that density bonus is coming from transit improvements. Vornado, the real estate company, Vornado Realty Trust, is going to invest about $100 million. It's going to reopen something called the Gimbel's Passageway, which connects, it's an underground tunnel between 6th and 7th Avenue, and it will also widen that passageway a little bit. And there are also some transit entrances to the subway and such that they'll be making. And then the other half of that bonus is really just, well, I don't really know, Brian. That's a really good question. I mean, part of it has to do with the fact that transit-oriented development is very much a buzzword, and here's a building right there at Penn Station, so why not build right there at Penn Station and not force people to walk, you know, a couple blocks away? But beats me, really.
Listeners, we have about 5 minutes for phone calls. If you want to get in on this real quick and say, if you mind, if this building gets built at Penn Station, if you mind if there's another skyscraper the same height as the Empire State Building elsewhere on 34th Street. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Is this just an issue for people flying in on airplanes and looking at the skyline? Should the skyline even be an issue, the aesthetics of the skyline, when deciding on a permit for construction? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Call up right away. We'll get you right in. Do they have an anchor tenant, by the way, Matthew? I mean,
they don't. This is where they were thinking of moving Merrill Lynch before the banking crisis occurred. And that's sort of the irony of it, is that they're promising about 7,000 net job increase with the construction of that building. But they really don't know who's going to be employing those 7,000. It's basically going to have enough space for another 7,000.
There's an office space glut in Manhattan right now, isn't there?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know exactly the figures. I think it's inching back up. Vornado said at the hearing on Monday that they have about a 95% occupancy rate of their buildings. So, you know, part of it is that the time horizon for constructing buildings, getting the approvals, et cetera, is so great that if you start a building, who knows? So there's going to be an economic crisis right in the middle of the development cycle, right? That's what happened with this building. So they're sort of getting prepared. They're not going to build anytime soon, they think. But, you know, when New York gets roaring again, they'll be ready.
Josh in Brooklyn is all for it. Hey, Josh.
Hey. I mean, New York is all about buildings going down, building over it. And that's what distinguishes us from European cities. I mean, what if when the Empire State Building was being built, the same argument was going on? This is fantastic for New York. This is what gives us our character.
Thank you. Emily in Manhattan disagrees, right, Emily?
I do indeed. I cannot tell you how frustrating it is to have a mayor and a city's council president who will do everything possible to support every large building and ruin every neighborhood in the city. And I have to tell you, one of the things to me that is sacrosanct is the Empire State Building, period. It is not a mediocre building. It's a beacon for the world.
It's a beacon. Were you around when the World Trade Center was built, and did you have the same feeling?
That's very difficult to answer. That was always a building that was – those buildings everybody had mixed feelings about before. They had mixed feelings about them.
All right. Thank you for your call. Juliet in Hoboken. You're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian.
You have your own particular reason for having an opinion on this, right?
I do. And in the course of things, I know it's not that important, but we live in Hoboken, and we love our view of the city. And we're right across from the Empire State Building. And it is going to block the view of that beautiful building. And, you know, if it goes up, it goes up. But it balances Battery Park. It's such a beautiful view, and I know no one cares about New Jersey, but I'm telling you, it's going to mess up the view.
Juliet, thank you. Judy and Chelsea are on WNYC, and you have another reason for opposing it.
Yes, I want to protect Hotel Pennsylvania, a beautiful building designed by the firm of McKim, Mead & White, and it's such a good building, not the greatest, but such a good one.
You wanted to see that landmarked.
Yes.
Was that a real debate, Matthew?
I think it was a real debate. It didn't go for very long. Landmarks Preservation Commission, denied it landmark status, or I don't even know if they actually even took it up. But about a year or so ago, there was an active debate over that.
And the Empire State Building is an office building, but it's also a designated National Historic Landmark. So if a major part of the building's inherent value rests on its impact on the skyline, then maybe they have an argument.
Sure. On the other hand, the skyline itself is not landmarked and doesn't have any actual protection on it. And I guess that's the tricky part here. You know, I should add that
we have 10 seconds.
That there are going to be taller buildings, and the Empire State Building owners know that. But they were supposed to be over in Hudson Yards, far to the west. So it's really we're talking about the proximity to the Empire State
Building. City Council votes on this building this afternoon.
That's right. The committee's already approved it.
WNYC's Matthew Sherman. Thanks a lot.
Great. Thanks, Brian.
Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan. Paige Cowett, Alan Smith produced this program. Intern help today from Rafael Vera and Alessandra Rubini. Our senior producer, Megan Ryan, Debbie Fountain at the audio controls.